That's all we can do. Let's lean on Him. We're going to sing a song here, and it says, I must tell Jesus. We'll tell Jesus. Anybody else tonight have a special request tonight? Yes, Helen. Yes. That's a precious family. Yeah. Remember that church. Yes, Brenda. Okay, remember that. Family Pam. Okay, Shirley. Okay. Anybody else tonight? Yes. Okay. Yes, Anthony, Cynthia. Remember Cynthia, please, as she goes through her cancer battle.
Remember Abraham and Gideon.
Yeah, Gideon's here and doing good. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Any more tonight? All right. Let's have a couple of ushers. We'll take up our Wednesday night offering. Pray for Nick tonight. Nick's going to bring the message. And remember our pastor. He's still not feeling well. And so let's pray that we can get him back by Wednesday. Yeah. Remember tonight, right after the service, we'll be celebrating the birthdays of the month of April and anniversaries. So there'll be a outing right here at the fellowship hall. So if you'll come over there right after the service, we'll try to put something in your belly. How about that? Now Nick's going to put something in our belly here in just a minute. It's called the Word of God. And it's better to eat that than what's over there. Amen. 103, we're going to sing about more about Jesus. You can't sing enough about Jesus. Let's stand as we sing.
More about Jesus I would know. More of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus. Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. Verse 3, more about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own, more of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
Beautiful. You may be seated. Come on, we sing.
That's one of the hardest things to do is to be still, because we all, I know I'd like to sometimes take matters into my own hands, but I tell you right now, when I do that, I can't speak for you all, but I know when I do that, things typically get a lot worse when I take things into my own hands. But I tell you right now, when we just be still and leave it into the hands of the Lord and trust God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, God has never made a mistake and God never will make a mistake. And how thankful that we all can be for that. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to stand before you tonight. I hate that Dan is sick and not feeling well. And I hate that that's the circumstances that I'm up here tonight preaching. But I am thankful for it. And like's already been said, let's just continue to remember him in prayer that he can be back up here Wednesday night. I know from being a pastor and I know from being a preacher, when you can't be here, the devil works hard on the preacher's mind. And the devil works hard on the preacher's heart. He feels like he's failing God. He feels like he's failing his calling. He feels like he's failing his church. But we know that our pastor is definitely not doing that. He's just sick. And people have stepped up. And God has used the people all day. This morning was a wonderful service. Absolutely wonderful service. One of the best communion services that I've ever got to be a part of. And God gets all the glory and every bit of that. Because without him, we'd just be wasting our time. But very thankful for what we felt this morning. And we certainly want to continue to remember Patty and Richard in our prayers that God will just be with them, okay? Mark chapter 15, if you brought your Bibles, starting in verse 43. Mark chapter 15, starting in verse 43. And I was going to say it's almost like God knew, but God don't almost know anything. God knows. And I got a text from a good friend of mine that said, message alert. And that text said, have we lost our appetite? And I was like, you know, that would be a good sermon topic. That would be a good sermon idea. And then I talked to Dan Saturday and found out that he wasn't feeling well. And he told me to be ready for Sunday night just in case. So I think that good friend that sent that text, God, even though that individual didn't know what the week held in store, God knew exactly what was being held in store for that week. So I'm definitely thankful for that. But Mark chapter 15, starting in verse 43 tonight, if you brought your Bibles. And the Bible says, and before we get started into that, you know, I always like to tell y'all a little bit about myself and my family. But we went over to Bays Mountain Park today, Lene's cousin and his wife. She's pregnant. They're going to be having a baby, and they had a gender reveal over there, and they're going to have a little precious baby boy, and how awesome that is. But anyway, that area where we were set up at, there was a little stream, creek right there, and I've never been so proud of all my girls in all my life. Man, they stepped right out in that creek, and they started throwing rocks in it. I was like, yes. Yes, it made me so, so happy. And they're like princesses too. And don't get me wrong. I don't want them to be 100% tomboy or anything like that. But I do want them to have a little Stony Creek roughneck in them. And when I saw them throwing them rocks in that creek, I was like, yes. I was so happy for that. So Princess Monday through Saturday. And on Sunday, they'll throw a rock at you if you get mad at them. All right. But it is good to be out to God's house tonight, good to laugh and good to have a good time. And you know, I was thinking while Amy was singing that song, Be Still and Know. You know, when Moses was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, they got there at the crossing of the Red Sea. There was a mountain on each side of them, and Pharaoh's army was behind them. Does anybody remember what a lot of the Israelites began to do to Moses? What'd they do? They started complaining, didn't they? They started complaining. One of them says, the Bible says, it'd been better for us to stay in Egypt and be slaves. You brought us out here just to die. Listen, I can assure you, whatever God's brought you out of, He didn't bring you out to die. He brought you out to live, praise God. And how thankful that we all can be for that. And then I got to thinking, you know, while Amy was singing that song, when they were in the wilderness, I believe they complained against Moses again. We have no food, we have no drink. It would have been better for us to stay in Egypt. You've brought us out here to die, but God provided manna, didn't He? Are you not thankful tonight, praise God, that when it seems like we're living in a time of drought, when it seems like we're living in a time of famine, and I'm not talking about food or anything like that, but I'm talking about spiritual food, and I'm talking about that spiritual drink. Are you not glad tonight as a child of God when God sends heavenly manna, praise God? When you're on empty and it seems like you can't take another step. When you're tired and you don't feel like getting out of bed. When you're wore out, when the burdens of this world have got you moving so slow and have got you so worried and have got you so concerned and you're just completely zapped. Are you not thankful, praise God, that God looks down and sees and He says, hey, you know what? Nick might need a little extra this week. Sister Patty might need a little extra this week. Brother Dan might need a little extra this week. Jimmy or Angie may need a little extra this week. Gideon may need a little extra this week. Canaan may need a little extra this week. Are you not thankful that God can look down and see the hearts of His children and say, you know what? They're going through a hard time right now. Maybe I just need to pass by for a little while. Maybe I need to pass by like the woman that had the issue of blood, that had the issue of blood, I believe it was, for 12 years. And she had been to every physician that she could go to, and none of them could do anything. And she had no money left over. Not only was she had an issue of blood, she had a physical ailment, but she was also poor. But one day, praise God, Jesus passed by. And when Jesus passed by, praise God, she was able to reach out and touch the hem of His garment, and it was a touch of faith, and immediately, praise God, that issue of blood was no more. That blood stopped just like that. Listen, I know we have people in our church tonight that are hurting. I know we have people in our church tonight that are worried. I know we have people in our church tonight that may be scared of what's going on in the world and what's going on in your family and things like that. But praise God, hallelujah, we have not built our life upon the falling sands of the earth, praise God, but we have built our life, our foundation is on the solid rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Tribulation will come, but on the rock we shall stand. Trouble will come, but on the rock we shall stand. Heartache will come, but on the rock, praise God, we shall stand. And hallelujah, when Jesus comes back to gather the church, not Liberty Fellowship Church, but the church of the born-again believers, the church of the saints of God, the born-again believer, the Christian, praise God, I'll tell you where I'll be standing. I may be in a cemetery. We may be here in Liberty Fellowship. I may be up in my home on Stony Creek. I may be at Myrtle Beach, but praise God, spiritually I'll be standing on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. Are you not thankful that when the going gets tough, God gets tougher? Are you not thankful that when the world seems heartless, it seems like God's heart gets a little bit bigger? Are you not thankful when it seems like nobody's love you, God's love gets a little bit deeper? Man, I'm thankful for God tonight. And how wonderful and how awesome that He is, okay? Mark chapter 15, starting at verse 43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if He were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. The thought that God has laid on my heart and on my mind tonight is, through a dear friend, is, have we lost our appetite? Have we lost our appetite? And we was at Lene's uncle's house a little while before church tonight, and we got on the topic of pizza. I can assure you, anywhere I'm at, food is coming up within 5 minutes of the conversation, okay? But we got to talking about pizza, and Lene made a statement sitting in there in her uncle's house. And, you know, we're from Stony Creek, so I don't know where all the great places are to eat around here. But I know one thing, if you're craving, in Stony Creek, if you're craving a Greg's pizza, you got to get a Greg's pizza. Pizza Hut ain't going to cut it. Little Caesars ain't going to cut it. Pizza Inn ain't going to cut it. Papa John's ain't going to cut it. And I'm laughing as I say Papa John's, because me and Lacey and Dustin and Lene had a good experience with Papa John's. I thought Lene and Dustin was going to go down there and tell them what for one time. Me and Lacey was like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. But if you're craving a Greg's pizza, you want Greg's pizza. Nothing else is going to satisfy. If you're craving a donut, me personally, Krispy Kreme when it's hot and ready. Okay? I can go to Dunkin' 15 times. That's not a hot and ready Krispy Kreme. I can go to Krispy Kreme and they're not hot and ready. That's not a hot and ready Krispy Kreme to me. So that appetite is not going to be satisfied. Another place I like to eat, and I'm just trying to throw these examples out because it helps us just remember things from time to time, okay? I promise we'll get deeper into the message. I love Chinese food. Chinese food is one of my favorite foods. And now if I'm craving Chinese food, it's Hunan's and Elizabeth. It's a little hole in the wall. If you looked at it from the outside, you'd probably think, man alive, I'm never going in there. But when you take a bite of that General Tso's chicken, it tastes like it came straight from the throne of heaven. Man alive, it's amazing. It's good. So when I'm craving Chinese food, I can go to Panda Express. It ain't going to work. I can go to that place in the mall. It ain't going to work. My craving, my appetite is Hunan's. And I've got to have Hunan's Chinese food for that appetite to be satisfied. Well, when you think about that spiritually tonight, when you think about that, when we think about that as Liberty Fellowship Church tonight, when you think about that as an individual Christian tonight, I want to ask you, have you lost your appetite? Have you lost your appetite? Or another way to ask that would be, what are you craving? What are you craving? Now, I looked up the word craved, and it means feel a powerful desire for something. So when you crave something tonight, you have a powerful desire for something. So I gave many food examples right there tonight, but I want to ask you tonight, and you answer yourself. I'm not asking you to answer out loud or anything like that, but as a Christian tonight, what are you craving? Chances are the first thing that came to your mind is what you're craving. So again, craved means to feel a powerful desire for something. Now I want to say this tonight, and I'm saying this out of love, but I'm also saying this because it is the Word of God. You can be a Christian and be craving the wrong thing tonight. A church can be a church and have a name out on the sign and everything, but churches can be craving the wrong thing tonight. You know, if churches are craving a big crowd, and listen, I have no problem with a big crowd. We had a good crowd this morning. We got a good crowd here tonight. That's great. But I'll tell you what makes it even better. Nobody was forced to come tonight. Nobody was forced to come this morning. Nobody come because there was a special program this morning or a special program tonight. God brought everybody. That's the difference. You see, some churches are craving the crowd, and they will crave the crowd so much that they may stop preaching the entire Word of God. They will crave the crowd so much to where they may not mention certain topics, may not mention certain issues and things like that. Say, well, you know, that might offend somebody or that might hurt somebody's feelings. Listen, the Word of God falls where it falls. And if it offends, and if it offends. And if it cuts, it cuts. But I tell you right now, every time the Word of God has offended me, every time the Word of God has cut me, and it has. It has offended me and it has cut me. And if you've been serving God long enough and you read your Bible and you're in church regularly, the Word of God will cut you and the Word of God will offend you. But I tell you right now, praise God, it's just like a plant or it's just like a tree that needs good pruning. When that pruning takes place, praise God, you grow better fruit than you ever grew before. It's the same exact thing as a child of God tonight, as a church, as Liberty Fellowship Church. I pray that God does pruning where needs to be pruning so that we can do more for Him. And I pray that in my individual life that God do pruning where pruning needs to be done in Nick Kollock's life, where that my light can shine brighter for Him. I don't know if you know this or not, but I think if you keep up with what's going on around the world is getting to be a darker and darker place. Now I mentioned this, and I'm like, Dan, I'm not a prophecy preacher, but one thing I have been keeping up on is the money and how China and several other countries are about to the place and point where they are not even going to recognize or respect the American dollar anymore. And they're all going to go to some type of currency. Well, I do know that in the end of times there will be a one world currency. It's all pointing towards that. You might say, preacher, does that scare you? Lord gosh, no. Bring it on, hallelujah, because I know Jesus is coming back the closer and closer we get to that. I do know that that is something that's going on. But the thing about it being darker is this. If it gets darker, praise God, don't that mean that our light just shines brighter? Do not let the darkness of this world dim your light out. Listen, if this church was completely black tonight and somebody held up a lighter, that lighter would shine brighter in the darkness than it would right now because these lights are on. And yes, I know it is easy to get discouraged in the day and the time that we live in, but I also want to say that I love young people. That's why I'm a teacher. I love kids. But I'll be honest with you. Sometimes young people can listen. Now, I'm going to throw me in there. Sometimes young people can listen to some of us older Christians talk about how bad the world's getting, and young people will be thinking, man, do I really want to live here? Do I want to be alive in this day and time? I'm not saying anybody here does that, but have you ever ran into people like that? Doom and gloom 24/7? I can't stand that, man. I don't like that. And I used to be like that till I married Lene, and she knocked it out at me, okay? Can't stand doom and gloom. Listen, God's children should not be doom and gloom. We should be the most lively, most excited, laughable, fun people in the face of the world, not because of what the world has to offer, but because who is living inside of us, praise God. Thank God for that. Yeah, a lot of churches have lost their appetite. They've got an appetite for a bigger crowd. They've got an appetite for, well, if we do this program, this will happen. If we do this program, this will happen. If we start to, but let's use this different version of the Bible and this will happen. Just trying to think of every way possible. They're craving people more than they are craving God. Listen, that's a dangerous place to be. I never, as a preacher, want to crave people more than I crave God. Because if we get to the place and point where we crave people more than we crave God, this place could be full, but it'd be worthless. Hallelujah. I like how God's doing it right now. God's bringing new people in, and God has laid on the preacher's heart to have a month where we invite people to God's house and praise God for it. Those are all great things. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you right now, that decision wasn't made, well, we just need to do this to grow. No, I know Preacher Dan. I know Pastor Dan. That's something he prayed about. That decision wasn't made on a whim or anything like that. That's something that God had laid upon His heart and on His mind. And hallelujah, God's already working in that. That's how church grows, praise God. You don't buy people to come into God's house, but praise God, you invite. Then the Holy Spirit knocks and it knocks and it knocks. And before you know it, they get in the car and they come out to God's house and you see them walk through the door. And before you know it, you may see them down at an old-fashioned altar, praise God, giving their heart and life to Jesus Christ, praise God. That don't happen by craving people. That happens by craving God. And the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. What are we craving this morning? You know, people that have no appetite. I don't know what that means, by the way, to have no appetite. I've ate 4 meals a day and I'm already thinking about what I'm going to eat tonight on the way home. People that have no appetite, it's either because they have no appetite because they're sick, or they have no appetite because they're full. Now that's talking about physically. Same way spiritually. People that don't have an appetite for God that say they're a Christian, well, they're sick. They're spiritually sick. The devil has got a hold of them. The devil has got a hold of their heart. The devil has got a hold of their soul. They are sick. Another reason you wouldn't have an appetite is because you're full. Sometimes in our lives, we can get our life so full of something that we no longer have an appetite to come to church. We no longer have an appetite to pray. We no longer have an appetite to read our Bibles. We no longer have an appetite to sing in the choir. We no longer have an appetite to study. We no longer have an appetite to come out to men's fellowship, to women's fellowship, to prayer room on Sunday mornings and things like that. Listen, I'm just preaching the truth to you. That's how the devil works. This is spiritual warfare that we are fighting. When you got saved, you enlisted in the army. You enlisted in God's army. The very moment you got saved, you got thrown onto a battlefield fighting. This is a spiritual battle. So, You might be sitting there thinking, well, I just don't have much of an appetite for anything. Well, I want to ask you, are you spiritually sick? What is your life so full of that you no longer have that appetite for God like you used to? That's for you to answer yourself. You may be here this tonight, and you might say, well, I've got a small appetite. Does Sam's Club still do the... And I promise there's a point to this. Does Sam's Club still do the samples? You put something on a toothpick and give it to you. I know Publix does that. Me and Lene went to Publix last weekend. We'd never been in a Publix in our life, and the only reason we went is to say that we went to a Publix. I didn't see anything in there that blew my mind, but then I did see a Dr. Enough for a dollar, and I did buy that. Okay? Publix had them samples just like that. As Christians, never let us be happy or never let us be satisfied with just having a sample of Jesus. With just having a sample of church. With just coming once a month. I come once a month and that satisfies my needs. Listen, I don't mean this mean tonight or anything like that. It's a Sunday night crowd, so this is a backbone of the church. Wednesday night crowd, backbone of the church. And I know some people work. I understand that. God understands that. I get that. My wife worked shift work for years. She'd work night shift. She had to miss church sometimes. I understand that. I get that. God gets that. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is this. When you got nothing going on in your life, and you're a child of God, and it's Sunday morning, you should be at God's house. Not only should you be at God's house for 11 o'clock worship, but try your best to get here for Sunday school. Sunday school is an awesome, awesome time. Just try to be here on Wednesday night. I know work, you know, church 6 o'clock. You might not get off work till 6 o'clock. God understands that. I get that. I'm talking about when you purposefully choose other things over God. That's when you've got a small appetite. I can assure you that when I have an appetite for Hoonan's, I don't go and get one little chicken nub of General Tao's chicken. I can assure you that when I have an appetite for a hot and ready Krispy Kreme donut, I don't take one bite then let it down. No, I eat all dozen, praise God. I ate the whole meal at Hoonan's, fried rice, egg roll, wonton soup, and all the chicken and all the broccoli, praise God. There ain't none of it left. Well, hallelujah, let's be the same way when it comes to serving God, bless God. Let's get all we can, hallelujah. I don't want a small appetite. I don't mean this meme when I say this. God's literally laid this on my heart and on my mind. Because Sam's, they give out the samples. Don't be a Sam's Club Christian. Just get a sample every once in a while. Man, think about it like this. If God only showed up in my life every once in a while, if Jesus ever showed up in my life every once in a while, if the Holy Spirit ever showed up in my life every once in a while, that'd be kind of, I'm just going to say it like it is. That'd be a sorry God and a sorry Savior and a sorry Holy Spirit to serve if they just showed up every once in a while. But praise God, they show up 24/7. 100% of the time. I've not for God. I've not showed up 100% for God, but praise God, God showed up 100% for me. I've not showed up 100% for the Lord Jesus Christ, but praise God, Jesus has showed up for me. I've not been 100% obedient to the Holy Spirit of God 100% of the time, but I'll tell you right now, 100% of the time that God directed the Holy Spirit to come, it came knocking, praise God. Let's not be a Sam's Club Christian. I got some other stuff written down here, and I promise we'll get into this scripture here in just a second. When you crave something, I already talked about this, but I just want to say it. When you crave something, nothing satisfies that craving except what's being craved. If you're here tonight and You've lost your appetite for church. You've lost your appetite to sing in the choir. You've lost your appetite to come to Sunday school. You've lost your appetite. You used to be on fire for God. And now you're lukewarm. Listen, the Bible says in the book of Revelations how God feels about lukewarm Christians. He said, I'd rather spew you at him. I'd rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm. That says a lot. God would rather you be a cold Christian than to be lukewarm. Lukewarm's a dangerous place to be. We don't want to be that tonight. So let's get into the scripture tonight. Joseph of Arimathea. That's the city he's from, Arimathea. That's why he is called Joseph of Arimathea. I am Nick from A.O. Buckles Road. Jimmy and Angie are Jimmy and Angie from Highway 91. Lynn and Linda are Lynn and Linda from Herman Peters Road. Did I get that right? Okay, that's what Joseph of Arimathea means. Arimathea is the city that he is from, the town. The Bible says that he is an honorable counselor. So in other words, he is a good man. A just man, a honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God. So we find out in verse 43 that he is a believer, praise God. He is waiting for the kingdom of God, praise God. If you are a believer, you are waiting for the kingdom of God. You have a craving, you have an appetite for the kingdom of God. I'll tell you right now, I've heard Christians say, well, I'm just not that excited about Jesus coming back. I wouldn't care to live here another 20 years and things like that. I'll tell you right now, praise God, if you're saved and you're a child of God and you are a Christian, you should have an appetite to go to heaven. Praise God. I heard a song one time, bluegrass song. Set Apart sung it. It said that you don't have to go to church if you've been born again. Now listen, don't throw bananas at me or anything. Just listen. You don't have to go to church if you've been born again. You don't have to go to church, or you don't have to tell the whole world that your soul has been saved from sin. But if Jesus lives within your heart, you will. Jesus gives you that appetite, folks. But if your life ain't focused on Jesus, and if you ain't living a life near the cross, and if you ain't living a life like Amy sung about tonight, be still and know that I am God, it's hard to get that appetite. Okay? Went in boldly unto Pilate. So he goes to Pilate. We all know who Pilate is. Jerusalem at this time is under Roman rule. And Pilate is basically the governor of who the Romans have put in control of Jerusalem there. And Pilate was the one that had Jesus killed, crucified. And I'm not going to get into that because Dan may get into that later. Because that's not what God has laid upon our heart and upon our mind. But he went to Pilate boldly. He just didn't go to Pilate. He went to Pilate boldly. Now what does boldly mean? Boldly means confident. In other words, when Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and said, I want the body of Jesus, he wasn't going to take no for an answer. Praise God, when your appetite is in the right place for Jesus, praise God, you ain't going to take no for an answer. Hallelujah. These people over in China that have to have church in their basement because communist China is after them to kill them and things like that, praise God, they've got an appetite for Jesus. Those people in the Ukraine that are serving and worshiping God with bombs going on around them, praise God, I tell you right now, they got an appetite for Jesus, don't they? Man, how powerful and how wonderful and how great that is. He's not going to take no for an answer. He's going to be courageous. Pilate might say, fool, get out of here. Pilate could have had Joseph of Arimathea beat to death. He was the man in charge. He could do whatever he wanted. Joseph didn't care. Joseph of Arimathea didn't care. He was being courageous. He was willing to take a risk. Praise God, when your appetite is in the right place for God and your appetite is in the right place for Jesus, you're going to be willing to take some risk. You're going to be able to willing to go and talk to that stranger that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You're going to be willing to pray in public when people may laugh at you and when people may make fun of you. You're going to be willing to take a risk and stand for God, even if it means persecution, but only if your appetite is in the right place and you are craving the right things. Unto Pilate. And this gets us to the end of 43, and craved the body of Jesus. He desired to get the body of Jesus off of that cross and give Him a proper burial. That's how we know that He was a believer. He was a silent believer. You won't find Him at Pilate's hall when everybody was yelling, "Crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him." You won't see Joseph of Arimathea standing there and saying, "No! Crucify Barabbas." You won't see Him there. He didn't show up there. He wasn't in the Garden of Gethsemane to try to stop the Roman soldiers from arresting Him, but that wouldn't have happened anyway because that wasn't God's will. God didn't want. That's why when Peter cut the ear off of one of the soldiers, Jesus reached back up and placed it back on. God didn't want nobody defending Him at that time. God didn't want nobody defending Jesus when He was in Pilate's hall and things like that. All of that was a part of God's plan. But man, the more and more I begin to think about this, the more and more I begin to see my shortcomings, but also the more and more I begin to be happy and rejoice. Joseph of Arimathea was craving a dead Jesus. He wasn't alive. He was dead at this moment. But man, he still craved Jesus to give Him the proper burial that He deserved. Well, I'll tell you something. If Joseph of Arimathea can crave a dead Jesus, then praise God, Nick Cobbock can crave a Jesus that's alive. Hallelujah. Amen. You sitting here in that pew tonight can crave a Jesus that is alive. Hallelujah. So have we lost our appetite? What are we craving? Jude chapter 1 and verse 3 says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. That word earnestly means with intensity, with conviction. And contend means struggle, to mean fight. It means to crawl. It means to run. It means to intensely fight for the faith that we have. And what is that faith? Praise God, it's Jesus Christ. We can't do that. We lost our appetite. So I got a question for you tonight. Have you lost your appetite? Well, let me ask you this. Maybe you've not lost your appetite, but you only have a small appetite. Nothing wrong with having a small appetite. Nothing wrong with that at all. But I tell you right now, how awesome it is, how awesome that it is to want the four-course meal that God has to offer when your appetite is in the right place. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Becky, if you want to come and play something, that'd be great. And Les, if you want to pick out a song, that'd be great. It's a message for the Christian tonight. Have you lost your appetite? And if you've not lost your appetite, is your appetite where it needs to be? If you want a stronger appetite for the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you right now, you can come down here and pray and ask for it, and I promise you God will give it to you. If you want that appetite to pray more, you want that appetite to be more involved in church, you want that appetite to come out more often when the doors are open and things like that, you want that appetite to sing in the choir, you want that appetite to show up in time for prayer room, you want that appetite to show up for Sunday school, you can get that appetite again. You can get it. Maybe you've never had it, but you can get it. But I will tell you two things. You're going to have to give up something. But when you give up something, man alive, that appetite that you get to draw closer to God, you'll forget about that thing you gave up pretty quick. So if God's speaking to you tonight, come on down. Go ahead, Les. Thank you.
that song less. Don't forget to head over to the fellowship hall for some birthday snacks, and you get a chance to go over and go walk over here and see Patty and Richard. Give them a hug. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're praying for them. I know that they would greatly appreciate that. And remember our pastor as well, and hopefully he'll be back here Wednesday night preaching. Then Easter Sunday, next Sunday, I'm looking forward to that, okay? I'll go ahead and dismiss us in prayer, then everybody will be dismissed to go over there. Yes. Can I play? Okay, that's good. I can hide? All right. Lord, we thank you for this night you've given us, God. We thank you for the smiles. We thank you for the laughter. And God, I pray that the message in some way or some form was able to touch people's hearts. And I pray, Lord God, that I was able to get it out the way that you would have me to get it out, God. God, I pray that you'd be with all these needs tonight, God. I pray that you'd be with Dan. You'll just touch and bless and be with him. And God, I pray that you'd be with Patty and Richard as well. And God, give us a good time over here in the fellowship hall. And God, give us all that heart and give us all that desire. Give us the right appetite, God, and give us the appetite to invite people out to God's house. And God, there's nothing wrong with doing that because we are doing it the way it's supposed to be done, by love and through your Holy Spirit, God. All these things we ask in your Son's name. Amen. Yeah.